Welcome, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 24th of October 2011 here in Japan, and today I'm on the line talking to Splitting the Sky, a Mohawk activist and powerful speaker of truth to the powers that shouldn't be, who's currently in British Columbia. Splitting the Sky, it is great to have you on the program again. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Good to be on your show, Jimmy.
Excellent. Well, as listeners might remember, it was our pleasure to speak to you last year on the unfortunate occasion of your arrest at the George Bush's speech at the TELUS Convention Center in downtown Calgary, where you were arrested for trying to break the police line and tried to commit a citizen's arrest of Bush for his war crimes. And unfortunately, he's come back again to Canada and was just in Surrey giving a speech. But before we get into the recent trip, perhaps we should finish up with what happened following your arrest in Calgary. Can you update us what the end result of that was?
Yeah, actually, that was 2 years ago, James. That was in March 17th, 2009. And what happened basically is that George Bush decided that he was going to, after leaving office, the stolen office at that, at the end of his second term, eventually, he decided he was going to test the waters and outside of the United States and see see how people would respond to him. And there was a group in Canada that that has basically been bringing George Bush and Bill Clinton and Rudy Giuliani and a number of other different folks from 9/11 situation there, and basically have brought them in. to give up to do talks at roughly $250,000 a talk. Now, at the TELUS Center, it was $250,000. He was invited by the board of directors of different folks from the one of the law firms that is affiliated with Lethbridge University, and these two individuals that have been bringing people in to give these talks at these different summits, and basically they're called economic summits. Now, when he came to the TELUS Convention Center in March of 2009, he was there as an invitation. He was supposed to speak to roughly 1,500 different executives and business people from, including ex-senators like Pamela Wallin, who also was she ran a TV show on CBC here, the national news. And a number of people were brought in, 15 were paying $400 a plate to hear George Bush speak. Now, I can't imagine what he would have to say that I would ever want to pay $400 for. But the reality of the situation is there was a number of people that came there to hear him speak. Now, you and I both know that Canada, especially Calgary, Alberta, where the TELUS Convention Center was, is basically the hub of the oil industry. Oil barons from around the world and the whole oil consortium from around the world has a very deep vested interest in the tar sands of Alberta, which, as you know, spews out bitumen gas that's a terrible reaction. With the various pipelines that are being spilt, and also being put on railroads right now, and a number of cars that have derailed and caused major spills. Well, in any event, they're sitting there fracturing these oil shales, this dirty oil, and George Bush, as well as Dick Cheney, the former vice president. And that in the head hawk of the neoconservative regime of the Bush administration, basically have vested interest in the company known as Enbridge, and so they have a vested interest in terms of the oil that is proposed to be pipelined from, well, it is being pipelined from Calgary, Alberta, down to Texas, and then eventually it's also being routed to the Northwest Territory, to the Great Bear Forest. Rainforest up there, and so we're trying to mobilize actions to stop the developments in these pipelines. And so anyways, getting around, I just had to put a little history back there, because George Bush came to Calgary, Alberta, at that time, the very first place that he decided to give a speech after his second stolen term. concluded, then he came to Calgary. There was a woman by the name of Gail Davison, who was the chair of the Lawyers Against War, who had made a specific petition, had written up a petition, a request to the head of the RCMP in Ottawa, the commissioner, and asked them to stop George Bush from entering Canada. As Canadians have on our books, we have a war crime section, and under the Immigration and Refugee Act, Section 35, there is a whole criteria laid out in the Canadian law, the criminal code, that identifies crimes known as war crimes. And in fact, at that point, George Bush was a credibly accused war criminal. Now, she outlined in her petition to the RCMP, stating that he had basically, he along with the rest, with Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, Condoleezza Rice, Donald Rumsfeld, and a number of people had fabricated intelligence saying that that in 2003 that Iraq was had weapons of mass destruction. Now, there was 16. It was known then, and it was quoted in her report to the commissioner, that, in fact, that there were 16 different intelligence agencies in the U.S. and around the world that had verified to the Bush administrators and the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., that, in fact, that Iraq, Saddam Hussein held no threat whatsoever to the national security of the United States. Well, after they had been basically knocked down on this this intelligence points, they decided that they themselves would doctor it up, and at the same time, they also threw Saddam Hussein in there as being one of the persons that was behind 9/11, with the bringing down of the Twin Towers. That said, the petition went to the RCMP, but the RCMP never responded till after the incident occurred on March the 17th. Now, I was given a call by a former oilman by the name of Ed, and a really nice individual who's a very progressive-minded person, and another person named John Duddy, who was a former insurance guy. And both of these gentlemen had asked me if I would, in fact, help to organize a mass demonstration against Bush's arrival in Canada at the TELUS Convention Center on March the 17th. I agreed in whole. At that point, I contacted my lawyer during the time of the Attica Rebellion. My lawyer, Ramsey Clark, the former U.S. Attorney General, and I told him and advised him that I was going to organize this demonstration against Bush. I asked him to put up a one-page solidarity statement for this demonstration against Bush coming and demanding that he be arrested upon arrival if he should actually come through and not stop before he came into the country. Banned from coming in. Ramsey wrote a very eloquent letter critiquing his war crimes, and yet he did advise me that that it was a very sticky situation to try to perform a citizen's arrest in the absence of the RCMP or the Calgary police performing their duties as requested by the people, as requested by the Lawyers Against War as an organization. Now, what happened was, George Bush actually made it into the country. There was a mass caravan to bring him in of Blackwater type mercenaries that were protecting him in Canada, no less, in violation of our sovereignty as a country. He was then escorted by his security, and there were hundreds of RCMP and Calgary police assisting FBI and CSIS agents to bring him to the TELUS conventions to speak. So in other words, the Canadians, we footed the bill of the tune of $250,000 to bring this guy in to do a speaking engagement, a war criminal. At that point, he was a credibly accused war criminal. Today, I say he is a self-confessed war criminal. He, along with Cheney, who admit to torturing in the form of mass arrest, arbitrary detention, the extradition of a suspected quote unquote Al-Qaeda terrorist and taken to rendition sites or black sites to be tortured in Syria, Israel, Egypt, and another number of torture-friendly countries around the world. Hundreds and hundreds of people were tortured and waterboarded, and they were put on racks, and they were beaten and naked, and they had excrement men smeared all over them, women's men menstruated all over them, and just literally totally dehumanized and tortured and hung by, you know, hung for days around the clock, tortured to confess that they were Al-Qaeda operatives or terrorists, and then trying to get to the leadership of the Al-Qaeda network. But in reality, we all know the real story behind 9/11, and my perspective, of course, and with the years of research, was that the Bush administration, predominantly the moles within the Bush administration, like Richard Perle and and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and people like Richard Myers, Joint Chiefs of Staff, all these people, basically, from my research, you know, conclusively, according to my research, had orchestrated an inside job around 9/11. So on my mind, not only was George Bush guilty of war crimes, of torture, and the subsequent deaths of hundreds of people that died in these extraordinary rendition abductions and subsequently assassinations, which was similar to the abductions and assassinations in El Salvador and Guatemala and Peru and all during the 60s and the 70s during the height of the anti-war movement in Vietnam during that time. And of course also on the war on drugs, the bogus war on drugs, just like became the bogus war on terror. So anyways, George Bush did in fact get into the country. The RCMP people rolled out the red carpet. They had full protection. Hundreds of police were there to defend the line in front of the Dulles Convention Centers. As well, the revolving door was just constantly occupied by 1,500 people going to hear him at this dinner to give a speech for $200,000. Now, there was around 700 of us that amassed in front of the Dulles Convention Center, and there were numerous banners, and the stopthewar.ca had basically assisted in organizing this demonstration, along with my colleague and 9/11 truther, Professor Anthony Hall, Joshua Blakeney, and many others of us that had basically, Professor Hall had written a book called The Bush League Justice, and basically was calling man for nothing less than what was like the Nuremberg Principles, but we then called it the Calgary Principles, to indict these war criminals for mass treason, mass murder, and to be in a Nuremberg-type trial that he conducted in Calgary. You can Google The Bush League Justice by Anthony Hall and read that whole document that was put together for that. Well, in any event, so what happened is that we also had received all of the documentation from the Lawyers Against War, and they basically I compiled the list of the law for the Refugees and Immigration and Refugees Act, Section 35 of Canadian law, along with the Bush League Justice, Ramsey Clark's solidarity statement and legal advice. And then I put a package together. We held a press conference the day before the demonstration. And on that day, Bill, the next day there was 700 people showed up. It was a very powerful, spirited rally and demonstration. We had one whole street blocked off. Police were everywhere, and they were guarding the front line. Now, I basically went back and back and forth by the police line, and if you Google splitting the sky, arrest Bush, you'll see the actual documenting of the of what happened that day. I went back with all the legal documents in my hand in a bag, And I told the police establishment with snipers, Blackwater snipers, in full military camouflage regalia and balaclavas all throughout all of the adjacent buildings in the area, on top of balconies looking down with fully automatics on tripods looking right down at us with snipers and telescopes ready to shoot us in a heartbeat. Now, I continued to walk up and down, back and forth to the RCMP and tried to explain to them what the law was and what exactly we saw as the crimes that were committed by the Bush administration on 9/11 and post-9/11 crimes that were committed in Iraq and Afghanistan and then subsequently in Pakistan. At that moment, that we also said that the United States, along with its NATO allies, the so-called coalition of the willing, in reality, we called it the coalition of the ruthless killing, where internationally they were violating the sovereignty of different nations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and basically moving in to destabilize the governments. That were existing governments in order to open the way and pave the way for nothing less than the interest of oil consortiums, Shell, Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, the whole gambit, the whole consortium of Western oil interest. And so subsequently, we said what happened basically that what they utilized, the weapons of mass destruction, as well as utilizing this fictitious phantoms known as Al-Qaeda operatives and terrorists in order to justify an incursion into the Mideast to seize control of the pipelines running from Uzbekistan to Turkmenistan, all the way down from the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea Basin, which, by the way, if one actually goes and looks at what was put together by Judicial Watch, Larry Claiborne basically had shown under the Freedom of Information Act that they had gotten intelligence papers under the Cheney energy policies and found out that the United States, France, Germany, Canada, and a number of other, Israel and another other countries, had actually carved up the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea Basin, to usurp all of the gas and oil, which is just an incredible amount of, endless amount of oil and gas in that region, and also to pipeline that gas all throughout Afghanistan, down to Pakistan, and take control of it before the Chinese and the Russians try to seize control of those pipelines. So in all reality, what it was a coup. It was a systemic coup that was systemically manipulated from the inside in order to orchestrate a false flag operation to do their dastardly deeds in order to maintain control. And those who control the energy resources certainly control national policies and control world war policies. So coming from that basis, then George Bush enters Canada. He's inside the building. I go up to the line 3 times, and I advise the police that they were violating our rights as citizens to have this man arrested and taken and detained and taken before given a hearing to determine if, in fact, he cannot be somehow sent and transferred, man, to the International Criminal Court to be brought up on charges and or some form of grand jury proceedings that would hear the evidence that had been certainly accumulated by a number of different independent commissions that had accused them of these war crimes and subsequently convicted in these independent inquiries and commissions. Like the one that was conducted in the San Francisco Citizens Inquiry. All right, so coming from that point, they then decided that they said that no, they're not going to arrest them, and they stood mute. And I said, well, I said, in that case, I said, I'm going to break this line, and I'm going in there. And I just saw Bush's entourage and all of the cameras walking right behind the sliding doors. And the revolving doors, and at that point I broke rank And six police, huge goons, grabbed me, threw me to the ground, smashed my face into the sidewalk, broke my glasses, chipped my nose, and kneed me in the back and really caused a spinal injury on my lower back. I was taken down, and then as I was picked up, I kind of caught my breath, and then I basically yelled out, "Arrest Bush, not me." I was hauled off in the cold. You can see my breath, you know, as I'm yelling out to the crowd and getting them into the chanting to "Arrest Bush, not me." And you see me getting to the paddy wagon. The door of the paddy wagon hits me in the head. I'm hauled off to Calgary Police Station. In the elevator on the way up, I get kneed and get beaten up by the cops. And until I get there to get arraigned, and as I get arraigned inside the police station, Ramsey Clark calls, the former U.S. Attorney General, calls and asks about what's happening to me. Gail Davison calls, and hundreds of people turned out downstairs, including my colleague Anthony Hall, Professor Hall, and Joshua Blakeney, and a number of people from this Spinning Sky support group there. That formulated that day, they were at the jail, they stayed there all day, making sure that no real harm came to me. Well, the next day I was arraigned, and really what had happened, there was an offer, they offered to give me a $40, time served with 6 months community service or something like that. And I basically said, look, I'm not the criminal here. The real criminals have yet to be apprehended. And so subsequently, what I said to them, I said, as far as I'm concerned, I said, I think I've done the world a great community service by trying to apprehend this war criminal. And, of course, they didn't buy that argument. And I told them that I was innocent, and I decided that I wanted to take this thing to, I wanted a jury trial, and I was going to present all of my arguments as to why George Bush was a war criminal and why the police obstructed me. I was charged with obstruction of a police in the performance of his duty. And I'm saying, no, I was obstructed. They obstructed us. We instructed them to arrest them, and they obstructed the process of the arrest. And so therefore I said to them that I was innocent and was going to take it to the court. I took it to court, and it took about a year before I was finally got to trial. All the pretrial arrangements and stuff that we submitted to the court. I had asked Cynthia McKinney to come and to testify, to give our testimony about the false intelligence that in the hearings that she conducted on Capitol Hill in Washington D.C. questioning the Pentagon's involvement in 9/11 and why there was a no air defense that day for over an hour and a half. And so I wanted her to come and give testimony in that respect. I asked Anthony Hall to give testimony on war crimes of the Bush administration. They wouldn't allow either one of them to testify. Ramsey Clark came in as to my trial as a character witness at the end of the trial. But I also had asked David Ray Griffin to send a supporting affidavit on my behalf of why I believe that Dick Cheney and George Bush man were behind the inside job at 9/11. And, of course, David Ray Griffin highly critiqued where Dick Cheney was in the bunker on that morning, which basically, according to Norman, the Secretary of Transportation, Norman Mineta's testimony, would conclusively show that Dick Cheney was in the bunker and around 9:38 that morning and did, in fact, stand down orders to allow the plane or whatever it was that hit. It was more like a cruise missile that hit the Pentagon and killed numerous people there that day and also shot out Flight 93 in Shanksville. So he submitted that, and it was actually entered in as evidence for the first time in history of the whole thing on a legal level, judicial level. This evidence is in court. Now, it can be used in other cases that may come up and can be subpoenaed, which is a major breakthrough. The judge in my case was a guy by the name of Michael DeLong, Michael DeLong basically wanted to recuse himself because his wife was an anti-war activist. So, well, we thought that was a pretty good deal. But in any event, we told him that we had no problem with him sitting as long as he was fair and looked at all the evidence that was presented and didn't try to railroad us by not allowing us to present the critical evidence that we needed to present to make our case. My case was that I believed I was trying to raise what is known as a legal clause called mens rea, and I was trying to say that I believe I had the right to do what I did for these reasons, for these facts, in the absence of the RCMP and the Calgary Police doing their job. So in any event, Professor Boyle, Francis Boyle from the University of Chicago, an international lawyer, also said, had supplied us with his thesis on the fact that there is a thing called civil resistance as opposed to, let's say, civil disobedience. But a civil resistance means that an individual believes that they have the right to do what they do in the absence of the police or establishment fulfilling that obligation for civilians, for the civilian population demanding that suspected war criminals or criminals, common criminals, man, be apprehended for crimes that the government itself does not see or would not themselves, in fact, make the arrest. So in other words, so we utilized that argument in court. Well, at the end of everything, the judge basically went and made his decision. I testified. I gave testimony on my own self-defense that day and basically stated all the reasons I believed I had the right to do what I did. And at the conclusion of everything, the judge then hands down a sentence, and he sentenced me to 2 years for obstruction. And he basically said my lawyer appealed, Charles Davidson, basically appealed for a conditional discharge. I was given the conditional discharge, a 1 year probation, and if I was violated that probation in that year and was charged with anything and convicted of something, I would get that time for the charge and the conviction, and I would also get the 2 years on the conditional discharge of the conviction for George Bush. This trial became known as Bush, Split in the Sky versus Bush. And then I also was given a $1,000 fine to be given to the charity of my choice. John Duddy, who paid the fine on my behalf, he and I agreed that we should send that money to the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Yeah, in the beginning, they would not allow us to do it because they said they weren't a Canadian group. So we sent it to the Unitarian Church in Calgary, and they just sent it down to the A&E for 9/11 Truth.
Perfect. That's just so wonderful. So something good came out of it, even if it was just a travesty of justice from start to finish. But absolutely incredible. So once again, my hat's off to you for taking the courage. I don't know. I mean, it's just something that everyone there should have been doing, but I'm glad you were there doing it. So let's move into his recent speech in Surrey.
Yes. Okay, so now I must say that there was actually a couple more times that he came. He actually went to Toronto, him and Bill Clinton, and the same funder from Calgary basically flew us back out there, flew me to go over there and to confront Bush again. And I'll just basically say that when I got there, the only highlight I could give for that situation there was that Bush's Secret Service had come up to me and basically said that we heard, could we talk with you? And I says, yeah, we'll go ahead and speak. And he says, we heard that there's word that one of the officers across the street over there said that you were basically telling some other people that you were going to break the line and go in there and you were going to hang George Bush. I said, well, you know what? I think you better check your officer and make sure he's not strung out on crack cocaine. It's either he's strung out on crack cocaine or you're just sitting here trying to create a situation so that you can arrest me on some bogus suspicion and what, throw me on a plane, a rendition flight that's funded by the American International Group AIG and the 400 planes that I had sent through the CIA and AIG put me on a rendition flight to one of your black sites and tried to torture me and put me in Guantanamo Bay? I don't think so. I said, so I think what you ought to do is just back off and get away from me before there's an international incident right here, because you're totally out of your jurisdiction. This is still Canada, and we'll defend it, man, with everything we got. And they just, like, their eyes popped up, and the next thing you know, there was 100 people around me, man, supporting me. So I guess they got the word on that one. And then they came another time over there in Saskatoon. We didn't make it out to there. But what happened here is he came here the other day. And he and Bill Clinton were invited by the mayor of Surrey, B.C. Her name is Diane Watts. And she invited him him and Bill Clinton to an economic summit. Now you have to understand. First of all, every time Indigenous peoples like myself, I'm a Mohawk from the Six Nations Iroquois Confederation, and as an Indigenous person, every time I hear about an economic summit, the first thing I hear about is all of Canada's natural resources being discussed by the U.S. And in the summit, they're discussing how, through the Free Trade Agreement and the World Trade Organization, how they're going to extrapolate all of our resources, all of our oil, all of our gas, all of our gold, all of our diamonds, all of our silver, everything. And so our water, how they're going to steal our lands for agricultural development, and how they're going to seize more of our industries, our lumber, softwood lumber, the whole gambit. So anytime I hear about an economic summit, my red flag goes right up. But in any event, in violation of the fact that here in Surrey, B.C., or in British Columbia, British Columbia still is beyond the treaty frontier, so we're still dealing with the whole question of national, international law relative to the 1763 Royal Proclamation that basically validates the right of Indigenous peoples to control our lands free from any colonial incursion and illegal occupation of our lands. So we stand on that, and in 1995, we fought a major battle over here in upstate British Columbia at a place called Gustafson Lake, where we held off 400 armed military personnel, including the Joint Task Force 2, and we also held off the 400 ERT team members, special forces. So we did a 79-day standoff with them just on that question. But at any rate, getting back on more peaceful terms, when George Bush came here with Bill Clinton, we once again had Gail Davison from Lawyers Against War, and this time we had the Center for Constitutional Rights calling for his arrest. We had the opposition from the NDP party calling for his arrest on Parliament Hill. I then found out, as we were pressing, and all of the work that we've been doing to mobilize over these last couple of years, and I'm talking about major grassroots organizing, just in May of this year, we were at Surrey, B.C. to launch the campaign, and we passed out 20,000 flyers, as well as about 1,000 posters posted up all around, and we've been on Facebook to the point. Between the Lawyers Against War, Gail Davison, Center for Constitutional Rights, we then got a major endorsement from Amnesty International, which put out a call for the arrest of George Bush when he got to Canada. And then we called on some of the people that were tortured by the Bush administration in Guantanamo Bay, and they're now calling for his arrest because they want to sue Bush administration. So, but this time we came with hundreds more people showing up in Surrey, B.C., in front of the Sheraton Hotel at this bogus economic conference. And well, if you check out the internet and you put up Bush Surrey, B.C., and then you look for the videos, you'll see a number of videos showing. Or else you could just email me, splittingthesky@yahoo.com, or hopefully maybe globalresearch.com. .ca, who, by the way, my brother Michel Chasanowski, certainly is a great, great man and has done much, much work in support of our work here to arrest George Bush. He's certainly a brave, brave comrade, and high respects to the globalresearch.ca. And so in all reality, we ended up with hundreds of people there on a work day, which was a great showing. And it was a very spirited demonstration. You can actually go to Censored News, and you can see the indigenous perspective on it. Just plug in Google, Splitting the Sky, Arrest Bush, Censored News, Surrey, BC, or something to that effect. But in any event, I'm sure we can post it, Earl, if you just contact me, splittingthesky@yahoo.com, on that, Earl. So there were hundreds of cops out there, the same military. There was a lot of military snipers up on top of the rooftops, helicopters flying around. We never did get to see them. There was a number of people that wanted to break the line, but, I thought, well, maybe I would have to do it again, but you can't do everything all the time. I set the example, and I gotta let the next wave man take over, because certainly if I had done it a second time, the punishment, would be five times more severe than it was.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be holding you accountable for that. You've already done your fair share, and I think it is time for other people to step up. But just incredible stuff. So perhaps you can just speak to, what does this say about Canada? Because as I understand it, Canada is one of the only places that Bush and Cheney will dare to visit anymore, because so many other countries have decided that they will do their duty in upholding the charges for war crimes that are so obvious and have been presented by so many respected lawyers around the world. And of course, we saw Bush cancel a visit to Switzerland last year because he was afraid of being arrested, yet they travel in and out of Canada with total impunity. What does that mean about Canada and the Canadian government?
Well, what it says is that finally the world no longer sees Canada as a peaceful humanitarian country that we used to be here. Canada, especially under the Harper regime, and since post the free trade agreements of the Mulroney era, Canada has degraded itself to the point of becoming economic serfs of the United States interest. And especially the U.S. interest of foreign policies. So the United States is under the Harper regime and basically went gung-ho again under the auspices of fighting terrorism internationally. Canada signed up with the Coalition of the Willing, backed the United States interest in Iraq, and also backed the U.S. interest in Afghanistan, and provided the Joint Task Force 2 special forces to arrest and detain suspected al-Qaeda terrorists, and then sent them off to these black sites to be tortured. So Canada is complicit in the war crimes. Canada is also complicit in stealing the illegal theft of resources from indigenous land, the Lubicons and the different indigenous peoples under the numbered treaties of indigenous populations, First Nations peoples in Alberta, stealing from the tar sands. There is a major call going out from many people to stop the Keystone Pipeline going from Alberta down to Texas, and also going out to the West Coast to be shipped out to China. Alec Baldwin and many different people, Daryl Hannah and thousands of people, man, have faced being arrested to stop these pipelines. Now, that's my next big project. My next big project is to mobilize an Occupy pipeline up here in Canada in solidarity with the Wall Street occupation, which thousands and thousands of people worldwide are finally realizing that they are contemporary Indians, if you will, facing genocidal policies and becoming strictly, totally impoverished by the 1% against the 99% of the world. The people are sick and tired of it. Many of us have to think about what the future of our children is going to be. Some of us are sitting right now in abject poverty and yet still trying to make, if it weren't for the fact that somebody gave a few bucks here and a few bucks there in order to get us to these demonstrations to fight. But we're just basically barely putting food on the table for our families. And yet we're out there trying to make a pave a path of economic security for our children. are for home and schooling, for clothes, and for health care. We're fighting the forces of the disparity in wealth in this world. And basically what's happening, we've come to a point where everybody in the world is saying, hey, look, the game is up.
The game is up, and I think it's just a matter of time until enough people really realize that and take action into their own hands and realize that they have the power. So my hat's off to you once again for providing that example of what you did in Calgary and continuing to be there on the front lines protesting and trying to get justice for the crimes that were committed during the Bush regime, everything from the torture to the illegal wars to 9/11 itself. Absolutely incredible work that you're doing. So if people are interested in following you, do you have a blog that you keep updated?
Well, you know, I haven't updated my blog in a long time, but I just tell you, I personally need help and assistance from people that want to continue to fight and move forward. I'll give you my website, my email address, splittingthesky@yahoo.com, all lowercase.
Excellent. Well, I certainly hope that that like-minded people do rally around the flag, because I think we do have to take the country back, because Canada is just not what it used to be, and unfortunately it's been taken that way by the neocons and the other people who have brought us to this point, so we have to continue to stand up against it. And on that note, Splitting the Sky, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, and I'd be willing to pay $400 to hear you for a lunch to hear you speak if I could, but at any rate, let's continue fighting forward.
Well, I'll put out a special appeal to all universities, to all colleges across the country, to mobilize speaking engagement reform, because I'm ready to come out and do 2 to 3 hours at any given time for a decent, reasonable honorarium in order to keep going and keep pushing this fight.
All right, let's do it. Okay, thank you.
And thank you very much, Dave, for all the great work you're always doing.